just taken over. But if anybody wants healing, healing's running hot down here. So, Holy Ghost is running hot down here. And so if you need healing, Miss Rose is enjoying the Holy Ghost down here. And so getting her healing from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. So I just wanted to open it up if there was anybody else that wanted healing. You know, when the windows are always open, okay? Heaven is always open. But there are specific times when more is being poured out. And so why not just say yes to what's being poured out, right? In worship, peace was being poured out. Yes, I want that. Let me do whatever I have to move into to align myself. You know? Well, healing's being poured out. So if you want healing, come and we'll pray for you. Amen. And God's not bothered that we're moving on and doing things and Miss Rose is laid out. I laid in the middle of this aisle one time and the preacher preached, and it wasn't Tommy, it was a special guest speaker, and the guest speaker preached over the top of me for 45 minutes. The whole time I was laying there and the enemy was saying, get up, get up. Everybody's wondering what's wrong with you. Get up. And I was like, no, I'm not getting up till I get what God wants for me. He put me on this floor because believe me, y'all, I don't do no courtesy drops. I've been in churches where people done courtesy drops. I don't do no courtesy drop. If God wants me on the floor, he's going to get me there. And he got me there. And I laid on that floor and he preached over me the whole 45 minutes. And I got what God wanted for me. That's when I received my healing of RA. And y'all know I've been diagnosed again with RA, but the doctor can't figure out why she can't see RA. The blood work says something, but the body says no. That's because my spirit says no. Amen. We don't accept. It may be the diagnosis, but it's not the truth. The truth is, we're healed. I was healed. Before I was ever born, I was healed. Because it was done before I was ever born. So, the facts may say, blah, 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 blah. But the truth says, I am. I am. I am in I am. And I am is in I am. Y'all better take this mic from me soon. He is faithful. He is faithful. I tell you, the last month or so, I mean, I love our worship, and I've always say that all the time, but the last month or so, worship has just been richer and richer and deeper and deeper. And man, we're just scratching the surface, y'all. We're just scratching the surface. I want all he's destined for me. I want all that he's destined for this church. I love you, Josh. I'm so glad to see you. I want all. And I want all for all. I want them to have him all. His love, his goodness, his kindness, his mercy. They don't know him like we know him. And we don't know him like he truly is. We're just scratching the surface. Amen. Okay, well, on to the announcement so I can get back to the nursery. Ushers, they are doing their jobs good. Y'all are so helpful to me. I so appreciate y'all. Both of you, always so faithful to be here. And I'm so thankful for you. And I know we don't ever say that very much, but I am so thankful for you, Mr. Robert. And everyone that gives, Father, I just thank you that you are the giver of good gifts. I thank you that you increase us in our giftings, whether it's financially or physically or all the things that you've gifted us to do. And so, Lord, I just thank you that you would have your way through us in our giftings, whether it's singing or playing or loving on people or giving in the offering. Father, I thank you for this offering that keeps the doors open, that keeps the air conditioner running, praise God. It's so hot. And I just thank you that you have purpose and desire and dreams for this place. And so I thank you for all those that are here this morning and those that are giving. In Jesus' name, amen. And there's offering envelopes in front of you if you're going to give cash or check. There's also online giving through Tithely app, and that link is there. Want to remind everybody, there is intercessory prayer here in the sanctuary, 9:30 to 9:45 every Sunday morning. And, you know, our intercessors, they walk the seats. They lay hands on every seat. So the seat that you're in has had hands laid on it, that the kingdom would come, that his will would be done right there in your seat this morning for where you're at. And that everything the kingdom has to be poured out would be poured out right there in your seat. And so I thank you. I thank you, Father, that you honor the intercessors that come in here and release. And we call from the north, south, east, and west, every person that belongs to Arise Church. And so we do it in, okay. Thank you, Lord, that this is a Holy Ghost church and we are Pentecostal by faith. And so, Lord, more, more, more over there and more over here for all that you have for us this morning. Pastor is continuing on with, what is he continuing on with? I'm trying to see what he's preaching on. Once upon a time, once upon a time. Also want to remind everybody that Beat the Heat Cooling Station is here in our hospitality room, Monday through Thursday, 11 to 4. There's free water and Wi-Fi. If the heat index is 100 or above, you can, and you have a hard time staying cool in your own home, you're welcome to come here and hang out with one another. Grandparents' Day is Sunday, September 7th, and this says send your pictures. If you have pictures of you and your grandchildren and you want to honor being a grandparent, send your picture to Pastor Karen, and that says comma, but it's actually dot, pastorkaren.arise@gmail.com, and have those in to me on Wednesday the 3rd, and please, in the subject line of your email, put grandparent or grandparents day so that I can find it. Baptism. We've got 4 people wanting to be baptized, and if you are here and want to be baptized, just get with Pastor Tommy or me, and we'll let you know. But we're going to be doing that on Sunday, September 14th at 2:30 at Sillamore Creek Campground. And so everyone's invited. Everyone's invited to invite their friends, their family, to see them be baptized. And so we're really excited about that. We've had a couple of baptisms over the last few years. Some of you might be going, we hadn't had a baptism in forever. We've actually had several baptisms, but they were private. They wanted to do it with just their families and not the whole church. So, but we're really excited because all of these want to do it with all of us, the whole church family. And so join us September 14th for that. Facebook and arisechurch.cc is our website, and all of those announcements are there. And here's a word, Matthew 20b. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. My love for you is greater than you can fathom. Stop thinking you are alone. You have never been alone, for I have always been with you. He never leaves or forsakes us, no matter what we do. No matter when we get in the muck, when we get in the ditch, when we get in the mud puddle, when we wallow around in it. And, a lot, you know, I'm not going to call out everything that we can all get into, because we all can get into stuff, right? We all do. But he took away our shame, and he took away our pain, and he's always for us. He is always for you. He has never left you, even in the middle of your darkest, ugliest moment. Sometimes darkest moments happen to us, and sometimes our darkest, ugliest moments is because we put ourselves there. Just real. All of us. Me, Tommy, all of us. Even preachers. But he never leaves you. And you know this whole thing that God can't look upon sin? Hey, he came looking for me. Let me tell you what. He's right in the middle. Listen, we got people that do ministry to strip clubs. And let me tell you what, Jesus is in the middle of the strip club. Jesus is in the middle. He don't stay out in the parking lot. He is everywhere. There's a scripture in Psalms that says, if I make my bed in hell, you are there. hell on earth or hell wherever, he's there. There is no separation. You cannot get away from him. You cannot run from him. You can try and hide from him, but he is always going to be pursuing you. Sometimes he's quiet, but he's always pursuing you. Know his love. Know his goodness. Amen. Okay, honey, I'll turn this over to you now. It's been a year since I preached. I might need to schedule a time.
See ya. You guys all right today? Well, I'm doing just fine. Thank you for asking. Open your Bibles up to Luke chapter 15. We're going to do some familiar, it's like down home cooking, you know? As soon as I find my notes, if I don't find my notes, I'm just going to wing it. Yeah, that would be fun, winging it. Come on, iPad. There you go. So, I'm always amazed how one-sided you guys sit. Man. And God's good, isn't he? And that's it. So today we're going to look at a once upon a time story. We're going to get to there, but I want to start off. Of course, I'm starting off somewhere else. In Romans, it says this. It says, "For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received a spirit of adoption that cries, Abba, Father." Amen? I don't know if you've noticed, but over the last 2.5 years, I guess, I've taken up, instead of calling God Father God all the time, as I have done for decades and decades, the word Papa just settled in me. I like that, Papa. You know, because I called my grandfather Granddaddy, but my grandkids call me Poppy. I got my kids call me Pop. They call me other things too that I can't say out loud in church. But they're usually referring to the younger me, not the older, wiser me. But you know, when you think about God, it's an endearing term, Papa. Let's go to Papa's house. You know, I mean, Bridger, when they lived in Texas, he would come down the road, and as soon as they turned on Ward Street, Bridger would say, "Hey, Poppy and Gigi's house, that's the end of the street." He's excited. We should be excited to be in Papa's house, of which this building is not the only place that Papa's house is. Not other buildings. I sure don't want you to go to them. I want you to come here, but I want you to realize that the secret place, the holies of holies, the place that God's presence is housed on the face of this planet, is inside of believers. And if we can believe Paul, we were always in him. He was always in us. Always and forever. Amen? Right? So, we'll have a theme today, and I'm going to do we're going to run through two small parables, maybe three, and then we're going to look at Luke 15, okay? So I'm reading in Matthew. It's the only place these are in there. There are three parables that Jesus taught about the kingdom of heaven. Now, when Matthew says the kingdom of heaven, what he means is the kingdom of God on the face of the earth, not the place heaven where you and I will be when we die, or if we're alive and Jesus returns and catches us away. It's not our forever place. It's the kingdom that it's revealed here on this planet. Amen? Through the lives of believers, through the teachings of Jesus Christ. So Matthew says in chapter 13, starting in verse 44, he says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and reburied. Then in his joy, he goes and he sells all that he has, and he buys that field." And he said, again, "The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, the pearl of great price, he went out and sold all that he had, and he bought it." And Jesus said in verse 47, he said again, "The kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, they sat down, and they put the good fish in the baskets, but threw out the bad fish. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Weeping and gnashing of teeth is a favorite saying of the writer of Matthew, because it's in there about three or four times. And it's not, well, I'll take that back. It's in Luke once. But Jesus is talking to him here, and he isn't talking about, this isn't a heaven or hell kind of thing. And my wife misquoted a scripture this morning. I'll tell her later, because it's more fun to tell her right now when she's not in here. But it doesn't say, if I make my abode in hell, there you are also. It says, if I make, because it was a Hebrew man in another time, in another place, saying, if I make my abode in Sheol, in the grave, where the dead go. Where they go, they didn't understand heaven and hell the way that our understanding of heaven and hell. They understood that righteous and the unrighteous, they all went to the same place, waiting for the resurrection. And Daniel taught them that and it wasn't until Daniel, that the righteous were resurrected into new life. And Paul teaches us that we were all raised into the new life when we died and was buried and raised with Christ Jesus at the same time he was raised with Christ Jesus. Now that's more than my little brain can handle, okay? But I do want you to understand that he's talking to these people, and he's telling them that the kingdom of heaven isn't far off, because he told them it's right here where you are. It's among you. The kingdom of heaven is among you. In fact, he told them to pray. Pray that God's will, the Father's will, is done on earth as it is in heaven. To bring heaven's will here. Amen? Sometimes we get away from that, and we think, well, we just got to escape. And so a lot of times, I like to escape. I would. If there was an escape switch, I'd flip that baby sometimes. Right? But Jesus is talking to them, and he's trying to get them to understand not the value of some treasure or some pearl, but their value to God. Because we can say we give up everything for him, right? I mean, we did give up. I gave up puking into white BMWs, you know? I gave up, you'll just hang around. You'll hear that story sometime. I gave up a lot of things, but I didn't give up everything. And I gained a whole lot more than I gave up. Most of the things that he replaced needed replacing. But Philippians tells us that Jesus left heaven and all that heaven offered, All that he was, he gave it up to become like us, so that in him we could become like him. Jesus gave up everything. Jesus is the one who paid all for you and I. Because we are what he values. You are what God values. The whole of humanity is what he is valuing then. You guys all right out there? Good. Because then we're going to go over to Luke 15. I even brought a printed Bible today. I think I deserve an extra star. Let's just hope I can see the words because I can't zoom in. Starting in verse 1, okay? Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to Jesus. Amen? All the tax collectors and then the people like me, my people. And the Pharisees, in verse 2, and scribes complained. Don't you love people that complain? Yeah. You ever worked in customer service? Oh, my. I used to work for a retailer, and I had this man bring a push lawnmower back with those ones. And back then, they were the opening price point, and I think we sold them for like $88. And he had this thing for like 88 years. And the first day he had it, he told me he hit a stump with the blade and he bent the mower blade. And now years and years later, the vibration from the bent blade, because it was balanced before it came in contact with the stump, it had worn. You could crank this mower and you could almost spin the motor all the way around on the frame. And I said, sir, we can't take that back and give you a new mower. It's not warranted for that type of abuse. He said, okay. Walks over to the payphone, calls Sam Walton. I kid you not. A quail hunting buddy. They should identify themselves first. I hear my name called up to the service desk, and I go up to the front, and there he is standing. And the store manager's chewing me out. Because I didn't know he was a quail hunting buddy. And so we gave him a brand new mower for that one. And I thought, you just gave us a whole, this morning in the manager meeting, you gave us a whole story about how we're supposed to protect and not do refunds like this anymore. I guess if you know Sam, if you know somebody, amen? So here we go. And the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. Uh-oh. So what did Jesus do? Jesus told three parables in Luke 15. And they're all about something that's lost. And they're all about something that's lost and is already in the possession of the owner. That's an important part. The first story he told was a woman who lost a coin. No, I'm sorry. Was a little sheep that wandered away from the fold. And the good shepherd went and found the one sheep and brought it back and joined him back to the 99 so that all the sheep were in this place. Amen? And we just love baby lambs, don't we? I do love lamb. Then he tells the story of a woman who has lost a coin in her house. The coin has value to her. And she searches the house until she finds the coin. Right? Because she needs the coin. Nobody wants to lose a coin, right? My dad, Carl, man, he could spot a penny in the middle of the road from 25 feet away. He picked up every one of them. He put them in a coffee can in the back of his car. They all added up. I think when he had me count it, it added up to like $280 of change in a coffee can that he had picked up off the ground. Man, $280 back in 1980. When was that? 81. Oh my gosh, that's a lot of money at $275 an hour. So then Jesus gets down to this. He pulls the metaphor away from agriculture and economics, and he begins his story in verse 11. And he says, once upon a time, he didn't say that, but I said that. He said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood, to both of them. And not many days after, the younger son, flush with cash, gathered all together and journeyed to a far country. And there wasted his possession with prodigal living. That's a nice way to say it, huh? I'm not going to read you the whole story because we know this story, right? I love the parable of the two sons. And I rarely ever get to the last son. But there's something I want you to understand today, more than that, but more than the one son returning, because we know the story, right? Everybody knows that he comes back home. Yep. You could say that he went off into exile into another country, because that's what he did. I mean, he went somewhere where there were pigs, and there weren't pigs there wasn't a pig farm in Judea, because they didn't have pigs, right? Because they didn't eat pork. The Mosaic law wouldn't allow them to. You know, every time I pick up a pulled pork sandwich, I thank God I'm a Gentile. I just do. I mean, I don't mean to be. I just. Come on, I like pork, man, when it's cooked all the way. Anyway, so he goes off to this, and he just lives any way he wants to because he's young and stupid and got a lot of cash. And so pretty soon he realizes that the people that he had been buying drinks for and buying stuff for and just, oh, you're the greatest guy in the world, when he runs out of money, he runs out of friends. And then they don't even feed him. He has to hire himself out to the pig farmer. And he still doesn't have food. He's still making, he's trying to earn a living. And he eats what the pigs don't eat. I don't know if you've ever seen what a pig doesn't eat. But I have seen what pigs do eat. We had a customer when I worked at Ford Place in my hometown as a mechanics helper, they called me, which I wasn't. But I did get paid for it, so it was good. But we had a regular that would bring his truck in there, and what he did was he raised pigs, and he would take barrels around to all the schools, and all the food that the kids didn't eat, he took home and fed to his kids. That's good, Tommy. He went, took it home and fed to his pigs. And this thing's got a piston broke in it, right? And we've got pig food in open barrels, three of them, in the back of his pickup. Stephen, it did not smell good in the shop. But he would eat. This kid would eat. I mean, he's come from a loving home. He's taken himself out of the father's house. He's taken himself out of the country that he was raised in. He's gone away. He's spent all of the cash that his father gave him. And now he's eating the pods that the pigs don't want to eat. So the Bible says this. He has an epiphany. It doesn't say that. It says he came into his right mind. Wow. Because that's what repentance really is. It's coming back to an understanding, which is the understanding that Jesus is trying to tell these Pharisees. Because they don't see it. They were correct in the law. They had crossed their T's and dotted their I's, but they had forgotten about the compassion for the humanity around them. So his kid goes, you know what? My dad's got servants. They all live well. They all eat well. I've messed up being a son. I can't be a son anymore. I took myself out of his house. I left the Father's house. But I'm going to go back, and I'm going to fall at Dad's feet, and I'm just going to say, please just let me be a slave. Quite the turnaround inside of him, isn't it? From, Dad, I want you to live. I want you to be just like you've already died and give me all the money you're going to give me when you do. To, I'm going to go back and indenture myself to you. I'm going to be your slave so that I can live and be happy about it. At least I won't have to eat pig stuff anymore and sleep with the pigs. So he goes back to his dad's house. And I love what the Bible says. I just love the story when Jesus tells a story. It says, when the son was a long ways off, the father saw him. And the boy didn't run to his dad. The father ran to the son, threw his arms around him, and said, here's a robe, here's a ring, here's some shoes. Amen? Restored him back to the place that he left. He didn't go back to get what? He didn't go back to get that place. He went back so that he could scrub toilets. He went back so he could just be the servant, the lowest of the servant, the one on the lowest of the totem pole. But the father says, no, because you've been a son. You've always going to be a son. I can never unmake you a son. You are a son. You are a son. You are a son. Amen? I know, ladies, you're a daughter, right? I heard a man preach one time, there's no daughters in the Bible. They're just no daughters of God. We're all sons of God, but it's okay because we're all the bride of Christ. I don't get caught up in metaphors. The daughters. I know the daughters. The papa's heart loves the daughters. He's told me over and over and over again. And once you're a daughter, you're always a daughter, and you've always been a daughter, so you always will be a daughter. I don't know how to make that any clearer. But so dad's all happy, right? Ring, shoes, and robe, and he says, "Let's party," because Papa likes to party, right? I mean, somebody was partying on the floor up here a little earlier. I hadn't had to walk around somebody partying on the floor in a long time. But hey, that's good, ain't it? Amen. Dad goes, get the fatted calf. Ooh, have y'all seen the price of beef? Oh, my. Lord, we pray if beef comes down. You know how much I like ribeye. Oh. Says, go get the calf. The one we're saving for a special occasion, because this is the special occasion. And they throw a big old party. Right? And the elder son, remember? Oh, if you want to know who the elder son is in this story, he's the Pharisees that don't want other people around, but just, they want to come see Jesus. They just don't want to have to deal with tax collectors and sinners. Well, they do. Because they shouldn't be in the same room as someone who keeps the law. So the son comes up, the older one, and he hears all this noise of a party, right? And he asks a servant, what is going on? He says, Your brother has come home. And your dad has killed the fatted calf and thrown a party. It's a celebration. Come in and celebrate. He wouldn't even come inside. He wouldn't come inside because he didn't want to be in the same room with his little brother. Because his little brother had brought shame on the family because he took all the cash and left. As far as he was concerned, little brother was just exiled. He doesn't exist anymore. I don't understand disowning family. I just don't. And I especially don't understand disowning sons or daughters. I can't fathom that. I know it happens, but I just can't comprehend it. But He's so mad, he won't even come in. So the dad goes outside and he says, come in, your brother's back. He was dead and now he's alive. He was gone and now he's back. And the son goes, I have worked, he used these words, I have slaved for you my whole life and you've never given me anything. And he didn't even have to get into a pig pen. He created it in his own head. The father looked at him. He didn't yell. He didn't scream. He didn't call him bad names. He said, all that I have has always been yours. He didn't even address that you're not a slave. You've never slaved. He said, come inside and celebrate with your brother because we're all family. Man. And those Pharisees. Matthew doesn't tell us what happens. You know? Did they walk away in disgust? Did they hang their head in shame like the people who brought the woman caught in adultery and not the man for Jesus to pronounce stoning on? I mean, what happened to these guys? Why did they? I mean, did they even get it? Did he just talk over their head? Did, you know, sometimes you can get insulted and you don't know for a week, right? Because somebody, they're really witty and it all sounded funny. You laughed too and you got home and you thought, I don't know what that really means. Jesus is trying to explain to them, these people who look down their nose at sinners and tax collectors, the most hated people in Judea besides Samaritans, which is probably where the kid went to. Righteous living Samaritans. But he said, the coin and the lamb and both the two sons, neither son realized who they were. Neither son understood that everything that Papa has, they have. They didn't have to wait till he died. They lived as part of the family. And neither one of them realized it. Are we like that? Have we exiled ourselves away in our minds? Have people that are represented by these empty seats, do they not know that the kingdom of God is among them? That God is awakening his sons and his daughters? That he's calling us heart by heart to come back to our right mind, to have a conversation with him and realize that what he has, all of us has already have. To open our eyes to see. Neither of them understood their inheritance. Neither of them understood the DNA ties that they had. Neither of them. The coin, the sheep, the animal, the pearl of great price, the great treasure. We can all grab hold of the heart of a son who doesn't realize that he's a son. Daughter that doesn't realize she's a daughter. Luke said this. He said, if then you who are evil, Jesus said this, How would you like to be called evil by Jesus? It's not very fun. But he said, if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Don't go through life as a beggar. Don't go through life living in the pig pen that you've created. Or in the bad attitude that's all yours. Realize you belong in the home. You belong in Papa's house. I love this scripture in Luke 12:32. It says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Papa's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Paul says this, and I'm closing. And I'm closing earlier because I've kept you here so long for the past 3 weeks. I'm appalled when I get home and see how long it is. I'm just appalled. Ephesians 1 says this. It says, verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the earth to be holy and blameless before him in love. Man, the kid was always a son. When he was spending money, he was still a son. When he was broke, he was still a son. When he's eating pig pods, he was still a son. The older brother was always a son. When he thought he was slaving for his father, he's just investing in his future. But neither realized, neither walked in the knowledge that God wants you to walk in the knowledge of. And in the wisdom of, he'll never leave you or forsake you. He'll never turn his back. Man, I don't know about you, but when I read parables like this, I didn't grow up with much. I was the youngest of 6 kids. I got hand-me-downs from everybody. My mom used to buy Sears and Roebuck jeans for me. She would buy 2 pair for 1. She'd buy new jeans, and she'd take my old jeans and she'd cut the knees out of them, and then she would sew them on the inside of my jeans because I was so hard on jeans. And the jeans were called tough skins. Remember? But I think about the times when I was alone, the times when I was confused, the times when I did wrong as if someone can do. And I didn't realize I was a son the whole time. Father, we love you. We all stand together in your presence. God, we just pray right now that you open the eyes of our heart, that you open our minds up and pour into us all that you are. And all that you will do. We love you, Lord. And we bless you. And we give you praise. Because we're sons and we're daughters of the Papa. Amen. If anyone needs prayer for anything, you can come down here to the front. And we'll get some folks to pray for you. Amen. Have a wonderful day.